You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Sometimes you just need to throw your feet up and mail it in.
Well, I don't expect a lot, man. Pretty much if the hut doesn't burn down, it's been a good day.
It's kind of what we do on Friday.
I was transferring the contents of the file into this flexible accordion-style folder.
I'm not working today, man. I got an earache.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Not Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill.
Not going to lie, I'm pretty jacked up about this event coming up with the Hockey Hall of Fame on Tuesday.
It's going to be a fun night.
Yeah.
Very fun night. All of the TSN radio personalities will be in the house. 150 tickets have been given away. I think we might be giving away another pair. Are we doing that on Monday or... Okay, so we're doing it today. Apparently, we're giving away a pair of tickets today.
How? Are we going to have a...
I don't know. I was...
Dude, Scotty Mack yesterday had a couple goons on that were had a spelling bee. They were looking at their phones. Scotty told the guy, he's like, spell Hayes for me. So the one guy had to spell Hayes. The other guy, he's like, spell Koliakovo. Just, I don't know one person in the world that could spell Koliakovo.
Nobody could ever do that
he
on one
it
try.
He ripped in 4 seconds.
He actually got it right.
In 4 seconds, because he had his phone. He just
well,
Googled
exactly.
It.
If you Google it, then that's not fair. Obviously, that would not be fair. But apparently, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Hall of Fame event on Tuesday night at some point this hour. Very exciting stuff.
Very exciting. What kind of game should we play?
Something based on what we've talked about the past 2 hours? Is that asking too much?
We could take calls, do a little Leaf trivia.
Okay.
I like that.
We'll brainstorm in the next 20 minutes and we'll give it away towards the end of the hour. Because we're all going to be at the Hockey Hall of Fame. Tuesday night, TSN 1050, up close and unfiltered.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a blast. Noodles is not here today because somehow he's obligated to continue to call Ottawa Senator games.
Ray just says no thanks to those.
Yeah. Johnny, no thank you. Pooley, it's only Noodles that can call Ottawa Senator games.
They might just tell Gord to stay home too. Noodles will be doing everything. Play-by-play, color.
Yeah. Basically like old-school radio, like baseball radio, Vin Scully type. You think Noodles could pull off a Vin Scully broadcast of an Ottawa Senator game?
I think he could do it.
I think he could do it, too.
He'd have to sit up top, not between the benches, but he could do it.
He could pull that off. You see the piece, Michael Tracos wrote a piece in The Sun, because he was out in San Jose for the press conference for Erik Karlsson, and he spoke with Karlsson. I think Karlsson might have been speaking about this during his presser, but he said that he had not spoken with either Pierre Dorion or Eugene Melnyk, the GM and the owner of the Ottawa Senators, since last November.
When they asked for his no trades.
Is that possible?
I honestly find it very difficult because you're just around each other. It's almost like you can't avoid conversations. You know, if you're playing bad, you're avoiding the coach, you might not talk, or the GM. But sooner or later, you're somewhere. You're sitting in a lobby, an elevator, a bus, and it's something.
How about this? I'm your captain. I'm up for a contract extension as of July 1st. My wife and I have been in court accusing a teammate's wife of doing something that we believe is quite heinous. Maybe give me a call and we'll work out a sit down. Like how? That's why I want to give the benefit of the doubt to Dorion and Melnyk and the Ottawa Senators here. Contractual conversations, that doesn't happen the way a lot of people think it happens. You know this as a player. The GM stays up top, the players are down low, you guys don't have a ton of interaction.
I think it was fractured, Brian, as soon as he came out and said, him and Doughty have talked, and when I go to market, I'm getting what I deserve, I'm going to get paid. I think Eugene Melnyk saw that and said, if that guy thinks I'm paying him $11 or $12 million a year, he's not getting it.
That may be true. I could see that. But wouldn't you think, again, after the Hoffman stuff, someone from the organization would have reached out to Karlsson and said, hey, let's get in the same room and talk this over?
I think that
how did that not happen?
Had to have happened.
Like unless Eric, Karlsson was not being... This? Unless he wasn't being literal. Or maybe he was talking specifically about the contract or what happens on the ice, I don't know. But how did Dorion and or Melnyk not call Carlson immediately and say, hey, listen, we heard what happened here. We heard about your wife and all that. Let's figure this out.
Plan of action.
How?
I don't know. It's bizarre. I'm not calling the guy a liar, but I just find it very difficult how he didn't talk to Pierre Dorion through all that time.
I know. Like, as much as we goof on Ottawa, and a lot of it, I believe, is simply justified because they are the Browns of the NHL now. The Browns have passed Ottawa now. The Browns actually won a game, and they've got some positivity surrounding them. How you don't talk to a guy like Carlson, considering everything that happened, I have to believe that's not true. I have to. Because if it is true, what the hell is going on in Ottawa?
I don't think anybody knows.
What in God's name is going on in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada? If Erik Karlsson did not speak with anyone of importance and authority within the Ottawa Senators organization for 10 months, that's scary incompetence if true. So the Browns finally win. Took them 635 days. Baker Mayfield comes in late second quarter, goes legend in the second half. Bud Light, fridges open citywide. People are getting tattoos about Baker Mayfield. And what is up in Cleveland? What happened last night? To chat about that, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is longtime NFLer, just recently jumping on board with the NFL Network as an analyst on Game Day Live. Here is Will Blackman. How you doing, Will?
What's happening? How's it going?
We're doing pretty well, man. That was a pretty cool night. I mean, we goof on Cleveland. A lot of people goof on Cleveland, and when you don't,
I will say that was a great night.
That was
it
fun,
really,
wasn't
really
it?
It was really good for football. I agree.
What do you make of Baker Mayfield? How he handled the moment? There were a lot of questions about his maturity and whether or not he was ready for the moment. How did you feel about how he stepped in and how he handled everything?
I think it was just a certain generation that had a particular issue with his maturity, because I think he's very mature. Just his journey in general to walk on twice and to earn the starting job alone, you know, twice. And then to go and win the Heisman. I mean, that right there is maturity itself, because not all people can handle that. So I think for him to just step up in there in the spotlight, I mean, it was kind of meant for him to be like that, you know?
How about Hugh Jackson afterwards suggesting he's got to watch the tape? Is that just about, you know, showing some respect for Tyrod Taylor?
No, it's funny. I literally just talked to my wife about that, how he has to watch the tape afterwards. But I think so, you know, Tyrod, out of respect for him, you know, he just had a concussion, so that's why, you know, he ended up leaving the game. But I think the fact is, like, I know everyone's thinking, like, what is there to watch? But I think really what Hugh meant to say was, well, we need to speak as a staff to find out what we're going to do. Because if you watch the tape, Baker should be starting.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Taylor suffered a concussion, and, you know, there's nothing funny about that, or really, you don't have to deeply evaluate it. You suffer a concussion, you can't play. But his play alone was leading towards Baker making an appearance anyway, wasn't it? I mean, he looked awful last night.
No, I think so. I think so. And you know what? That's just how it is. That's how the game works, is, you know, either you're the beneficiary of someone getting injured, or you get injured, someone else is, you know, the beneficiary. But I just think overall, Baker is the better quarterback. You know, even he was the better college quarterback, and just overall he is. With Tyrod, he's well respected. He does a great job of leading. You know, doesn't turn a ball over. Can win games, and So I think in that regards with him, yeah.
We were discussing at the beginning of the show, what is crazier, like the celebration in Cleveland or the fact that previous regimes were so stupid in their handling of staff and players? Like, it's crazy for an owner to sit there and watch what went on there for years and not make changes, and it took so long.
Well, I think they just finally got the right people upstairs in the front office. I was with John Dorsey and Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf in Green Bay, and I knew once they came in there that they knew what to do. They're, you know, obviously they're on the Ron Wolf tree, and that was the main thing, and to let them actually do their job, you know. So that was the main thing. I wouldn't call them stupid or anything. It's just that's the way business works. You live and you learn, and to finally sometimes it takes that long just to find what you need to get that team over the hump.
With Will Blackman, former NFLer, currently NFL Network analyst. You can see him on Game Day Live on the NFL Network. We talk a lot about the Bills up here. And it's either the Bills or the Lions now are taking over the mantle from the Browns as the biggest debacle in the NFL. And they're in Minnesota this week. The Bills are in Minnesota. 16.5-point dogs. And I don't think that number is big enough. I mean, do you think the Bills have a shot at even keeping this close? Forget winning, but keeping it close.
It was the Lions first. I actually played against the Lions when they were... I was the 16th game when they were 0-15. So I played against the Lions when they did struggle. But it's tough because you don't know what's going to happen with the Bills offense, you know? And then, you know, obviously the story with Vontae, you know, you don't know what's going on in that building. So I think overall the Lions have a lot of firepower on offense where they can put up a lot of points. But we just don't know how many points they're going to be able to put up. Buffalo will be able to put up. So I wouldn't say that's far off, but it is nerve-wracking. I can imagine.
Yeah. Oh, it stings, man. Like Bills Mafia, they finally got a taste of something last year with Tyrod Taylor, ironically enough. But they finally make the playoffs, and
they're not tasting it this year.
No, they're not even close. I mean, it's the Pats all day, maybe Miami. They're off to a pretty good start. But,
you sound so upset.
No, I'm really not. I'm just being honest. You know, I'm not a Bills fan personally.
It is somewhat shocking how bad they are.
Yeah, I guess I feel for people in Buffalo.
You're like, shocked about it?
Well,
just how bad. Like watching games, it's like they can't defend, they can't create offense. It's really bad. It's bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know what though? Every franchise, every team. I mean, first of all, I'm not going to say every franchise because Buffalo has suffered enough, you know, already with the whole Super Bowl situation. But, yeah, it's just, you know, for Coach McDermott, just for him to figure it out, you know, obviously the main thing is if you don't have a quarterback, that's everything, you know. So I think their game plan was, hey, you know, we're going to let, you know, Tyrod go, and we have somebody in mind that we're going to get. You know, every team spent this entire offseason deciding what they want to do, you know, in terms of building their team. So that was their game plan, and that's what it was. So right now they're dealing with whatever is going on over there, and it's tough. I totally get it. You know, I was in Jacksonville when they were rebuilding, and you know, we had Chad Henne, who was a great leader. You know, did enough to help us do okay in ball games, but we were rebuilding from the jump. We went 0-8. From the beginning, and it was very, very, very tough. But everyone just stayed the course, and then next thing you know, look where Jacksonville is now. Ironically, with Coach Marone.
Yeah, exactly. Comes over from the Bills, and they're locked and loaded. And I think the Jags next week have the Jets, I believe, at home. And the Jets, you know, like they started great. Detroit, Monday night, Sam Darnold, but now they've lost a couple games in a row. I mean, shouldn't this have been expected, though, to an extent with Sam Darnold? I mean, he's a young quarterback, and he's going to have his ups and downs.
Yeah, people love Sam's just his maturity and how poised he is. But at the end of the day, you still got to make it happen. And you know, I think everyone. I mean, you can watch all of Sam's film all of college, but I think what really, really exposed him was the game against Ohio State, where they just went after him and attacked him, and he couldn't do anything that entire game. And that's kind of the formula that I believe that Cleveland used last night too. So I think the one thing about Sam that I did like is that it doesn't matter the situation. He's always cool and collective. When I was training out here in California this summer, he was out here as well. So I really got to see how he was, and he'll figure it out. Also, too, there are great leaders on that team, so that would keep it together. So I think, you know what, it'll be an interesting game, but I still feel like Jacksonville is just too solid and too hungry all around on every level. And then if Blake is playing how Blake is playing right now, then everyone can forget about it.
Yeah, that's lights out, I would think.
Yeah, no question.
Great stuff, Will. Enjoy yourself at the NFL Network. Thank you for doing this.
No, appreciate it. Anytime.
There's Will Blackman, longtime NFLer, safety, secondary. currently with the NFL Network, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Hurry into Maple Toyota during the Toyota 2018 Clear Out event, where you can get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. Leafs Sabres tonight down at Scotiabank Arena. We'll get back into teeing that up. John Tavares will be in the lineup. And TSN 1050, we're going to be at the Hockey Hall of Fame Tuesday night. TSN's Up Close and Unfiltered. We're giving away a pair of tickets. It's the only way you can get in. We've sold out all the other tickets. A pair of tickets to that event at some point this hour. We'll get to that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Sounds like I was way off in the last hour. We were talking about the amount of people worldwide that don't know how to swim. I honestly thought like half the world's population, just because of how many people live in remote areas, or if you don't live around water or whatever, based on some of the stats we've been able to compile here, it seems like that was probably a little bit too much. Probably overshot the coverage a little bit. It's a lot less than that. Like, there are a lot more people in the world that know how to swim.
I know, I told you.
Than I was willing to give credit for.
Also, Jeff was right. It's like 20%, right?
Yeah, it's probably closer to that than 50%. I don't know why I would think that. I'm just thinking, you know, you go Africa, South America, noodles. A third of this show doesn't know how to swim. You know what I'm saying?
So, I don't think you talk to most adults, though. That's not the norm.
Well, I hope not. But anyway, Leafs Sabres tonight down at the Scotiabank Arena.
I think a lot of the guys in the power play are going to be not on the power play at the same time. You know why?
Why is that?
A lot of times when you take penalties, there's a line on the ice that are just dominating, right? The opposition gets tired and takes a penalty. And if there's not a TV timeout on this power play unit, you're going to have three centermen if Kadri plays in the middle of the box. So that centerman that's sucking wind that just had a minute and 45 second shift, I think he's going to say, sit your ass on the bench, you're not staying out there.
That's a good point.
They all can't go out there together.
Yeah, Tavares, Matthews, and Kadri, if they're all on that top power play unit.
One unit's on the ice to draw the penalty.
Yeah, someone was just on the ice. Par Lindholm isn't going to attract 200 penalties this year.
No.
Yeah, but Par Lindholm could be in a position to get a lot of ice time following power plays.
Yes, sir.
Because Babcock, you know, it's a good problem to have, but it is a puzzle that you've got to find a way to make work, you know? Like, you've got to get Tavares and Matthews and Marner power play time. I think Kadri's the most obvious guy that would come out.
Yeah, and maybe Nylander, the right-handed shot, goes in there.
That seems more likely, right? Nylander steps in or Marleau steps in. Both guys would be more than capable on that.
Regardless, it's a lot of talk and everyone's excited about having all this talent. There is going to be some offensive playmakers that his production is going to go down because you're going to get 14 seconds of a power play.
Well, do you think that factors into the Nylander contract negotiation?
What, like, where the hell am I going to play?
Well, yeah, or from the Leafs standpoint. Like, would Dubas be like, listen, I hate to break it to you, Willie. I was hoping Babcock would be the one to tell you, but you're on the second power play unit. So,
yeah, you're not with your boy Austin Matthews anymore.
Yeah.
Playing catch just inside the blue line.
Right. So when we project what kind of numbers we think you're going to put up, we don't think you're going to hit 80 points because you're not going to be on the top power play unit. Like, for you to hit those kind of numbers, you have to be a power play contributor. You have to be.
Yes.
Like,
those nights you get a bad team on a bad night with a bad penalty kill.
Right.
You have your 4 or 5 point night.
Those are when you get them. You don't get them on 5 on 5. No one has a 4 point night 5 on 5.
You might, but it's very rare.
Yeah. Well, you're not banking on it.
No.
Right? I mean, how does Kucherov hit 100 points? That power play was crazy last year. You know, how did Marner get a point a game the final 45 games of the year? The power play was exceptional, and he got his 5-on-5 points, but a lot of them came off the power play. A lot of them the power play went right through him.
That's
where
you make your money for point producers.
Yeah, and I think that's another
dangerous power play, and you produce.
That's where it could get complicated as well for Babcock, because last year, that first power play worked so well because it always went through Marner. The instinct of every player on the ice was get it over to Marner on that side of the ice and let him set up shop.
Yeah.
download to Van Riemsdyk in the slot to Kadri,
and he's gonna slap pass it to somebody.
Exactly. Now I think they should probably continue with that, but that means Matthew's sitting on the far wall saying,
"Hello,
yeah, maybe I need the puck actually." So this is where things are going to change. You know, I don't know which coach is responsible for it. Babcock ultimately is going to have to have a final say, but
it'll be Babcock because you're not getting your power play coach to say, "Hey, you take a seat this one." Like I said, I like these guys. I think they're all good personalities, good guys, good hockey guys. But we'll see when someone's nose is out of joint or multiple people's noses are out of joint. Because you could drink the Kool-Aid before the year starts, but when your production's down and you're getting you-know-what on, we'll see if everybody stays...
Everything's gravy right now.
That's the biggest key. It's like Detroit, those great teams in Detroit. They had some good players. You bring in a Luke Robitaille, a Brett Hull. Some of those guys are sitting their ass on the bench watching Stevie Y and Fedorov and Shanahan and different Larionov go out there on the power play, and you're not. So you're willing to do it or not?
Well, and that's what Babcock and Lou, when he was here, always said, team first, which is ideal. And, you know, you've got to accept that if you're on a team sport that, you know, it's all about racking up points and wins and titles and all that. But let's not be naive. You know, ego factors in. A pecking order factors in. Everyone wants to be shown the love. Everyone wants to be in prime opportunities and prime positions to put up big numbers. And it can sound simple. It can feel simple. You know, you can jot it down. Put this line together. Put that line together. At some point, the Leafs are going to run into some adversity. I mean, it happens with every single team.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's rosy right now. Everyone's so excited, myself included. I can't wait for the season to start. I have very high hopes in terms of what I think they can do. And I believe they'll follow through on that. But at some point this year, we're going to come in here and be like, "Ooh, they've lost three in a row, and they don't look that good, or they're not that engaged, or this guy's hurt, or
this guy's pouting."
Yeah, something's going to happen. I mean, that's just pro sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about being pessimistic or trying to put a negative spin on anything. It's just a reality. That's the way pro sports works out. We had that Ian O'Connor on yesterday. Brady and Belichick have been to 8 Super Bowls. It's not always rosy in New England, but it works in the end. And that's the page you got to take out of, you know, that New England book is, yeah, there's some character issues and there's some red flags that pop up. But at the end of the day, they find a way to make it work and they win. You know, and if you're Babcock and Matthews and the Leafs in general, who cares how you get there? Just make sure you're there in the end.
Just give yourself a chance. Get healthy at playoff time and be in there. And
right.
Because it's not easy. You're going through Tampa Bay or Boston quickly. So let's see what you got.
One of the first two rounds, you're facing one of those guys, if not both of them, if everything plays out the way we expect it to play out. And really, outside of Florida, maybe Buffalo. Like, Buffalo's a sweetheart team right now. People are wondering, can they put themselves in a playoff position? This feels pretty predictable that it's going to be, in some order, Toronto, Tampa, or Boston. And if you're in the 2 or 3 spot, then you're playing one of those two teams. But Buffalo in town tonight, they're not sending Rasmus Dahlin. And we talked about this earlier this afternoon. Dahlin, for me, is a top 5 must-see player right now. Just because I don't know enough about him.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard so much about him.
Incredible talent.
Incredible talent. The position he plays makes it unique.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen...
He could be a 30-minute-a-night guy for 10 years for the Buffalo Sabres.
Right.
Game changer.
And physical guy. Throws hits.
Yeah. He's aggressive.
Yes.
And a specimen. Like, the offensive talent. And, I just watched him live a few times at the World Juniors, and he just made a couple plays where you're like, that's big time. Like, that is a big time wow factor. And it's, I don't get the wow factor much, because I'm usually like, oh, whatever, good play. But
yes, exactly.
This guy's got wow factor.
Yeah, he's got, like, he doesn't play with a pulse, and he goes out there, and he's cocky, he's arrogant, and I mean that in a complimentary way. Like, he will last man back, he'll put it through his legs and try to dangle something.
Well, go on YouTube and watch this guy's highlights.
Yeah, he's a rover, you know, that's what he is. And, you know, if I'm putting together a list of the top 5 guys I'd love to be in the building to see, Dahlin would be in that 5. McDavid is number 1. That's going to be an interesting
dude. I'm telling
question.
You those highlights of his last night.
Is he just
looks faster? He looks better. It's like, what?
Does he hold that mantle for the next 10 years? Like, he's the guy that if you can get tickets to one game, it's got to be McDavid?
Absolutely.
Like, is anyone close to passing him?
A guy that gets three breakaways a game, I want to see it. And creates a lot of them himself. Like, just take the puck and go through everybody. He was blowing by, and people were tweeting me saying, Winnipeg sent a garbage. I don't care what kind of lineup they sent. They were professional hockey players. And he was making them look stupid.
He made Jacob Trouba
back up into their goaltender that he was so scared to get blown by.
Looked like a kid that will be back in Peterborough by the end of the weekend. Like, honestly, an 18-year-old kid who is 4 years away from the NHL. That's Jacob Trouba, like, number one defenseman on maybe the best team in the league. And he was essentially in the crease, simply out of fear. McDavid strikes fear in the eyes of every player in the league because he's as close to like an Allen Iverson type as you can find in the NHL. He can posterize you. He can posterize you with his speed, with his pace, with his ability to control the puck at that pace.
The pro guys, all the good guys that were skating with him this summer said he's making NHL defensemen look ridiculous. You can't stop him.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot stop or turn and pivot and catch him.
Well, that's going to happen multiple times throughout his career, but there are going to be guys who cheat. They're like, I got to start turning this way, and he's going to dance inside.
It's going to be like little Timbits hockey where the one guy's way faster, and as soon as they touch the puck, the guy starts turning around and skating forwards.
I think you almost have to coach that. Like, I'm not even joking. I think if I'm a coach in the league and he gets the puck at the top of his circles and you're at the blue line, don't be a loser and skate backwards. He's going to roast you.
Yes.
Turn around and skate forwards.
You want to see one individual clip. It might have been the first game of the year or second. Troy Brody in Calgary,
He's
a pretty good skater in the National Hockey League. He made him look like he was in house league. McDavid picked it up at the dots in his own end, and Troy Brody had no chance. Just YouTube it. Try to find it. No chance.
Yeah, see you later. And Brody can skate, too,
and he
man.
Turned and skated forwards.
Yeah.
And he was like, no way.
That was opening night last year, I think it was.
Yeah.
Blatantly, he turned around. He's like, I'm dead.
I'm done.
Like, you can see it. It's like a gazelle who knows the lion's about to catch him. You know, there's a cheetah chasing a gazelle. And he's like, what am I doing?
Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm a water buffalo, and there's a cheetah that's after me, and I'm toast.
I'm a water buffalo.
Like, that's what he is. He's a cheetah, and the whole league is a water buffalo when he's on the ice. There isn't a defenseman in the league that can keep up. There isn't a player that could keep up.
I think he's going to get easily 125 points.
I hope you're right, because I think it'd be great for the league. I think it'd be great for Edmonton. Be great for the league. It would put that much more pressure on Edmonton because if he scores 125 and they miss, that's a catastrophe. It's an injustice. It's Mike Trout.
I think he's going to get 125 points, and I think he's going to sniff around a couple ridiculous nights.
Do you think he could be the NHL version of Mike Trout? Like, could we be facing that in the league?
The guy that's just a slam dunk best player in the league every year.
Team,
yes.
But team never does anything. More so about the team that doesn't do anything. Because Trout has been unanimously accepted as the best player in baseball for at least 3 years, if not more than that. Doesn't matter who else is going in an individual year. There isn't one baseball person on the planet who would take anybody but Trout if you were playing a game tonight. Outside of pitchers, of course. McDavid's the same thing in the NHL. If you're playing a game tonight, I mean, maybe some would take Sid, but let's be honest. McDavid, in terms of points and that wow factor, there's nobody else close. But is Edmonton the equivalent of the LA Angels? I hope not.
That's going to be up to Peter Chiarelli
and
the management does.
Because it's a waste of Trout. Like, what's happened with Trout is an absolute travesty in the sports world. This guy doesn't even get a sniff of the playoffs.
Well, they got to be careful because I know he's loyal and he's an angel, but the guy can wake up one day and just say, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I want to win. And you guys aren't getting me a team to win. Players aren't afraid to do that these days. They don't like it. They just say, I want to play somewhere else.
Well, they both have similar personalities, though. Introverted guys kind of want to be left alone. McDavid doesn't give a quote. Trout doesn't give a quote. I don't know. Like I don't want to see that happen with Edmonton. Like this, I don't want to see him get to a point where he's like, I got to get out of here. But I've reached that point with Trout, with the Angels, for the betterment of the game and simply for my entertainment value. I want to see this guy hit in October. I want to see him step up Game 7, ALDS, ALCS, World Series, whatever it is.
They talk about always he's sheltered and nobody hears about him in Anaheim. Maybe getting in the playoffs will be the best thing for his coming out party.
Well, you got to think baseball would love to do that.
Well, no kidding.
Like, if you could actually pull that move off as a commissioner, one player in the league you can pluck and move him somewhere else, it's obviously Trout for baseball. And it would be McDavid for the NHL, too. You know, as unfair as that sounds to Edmonton, it would be. They'd be like, okay, you're out, New York. Like, immediately. Can we put McDavid with the Rangers, please? Because the Rangers are going to be bad for a while. And that's the biggest market in the world. Not the biggest hockey market, but in terms of money and in terms of glamour.
Oh, can you imagine McDavid in New York? He would be massive. I don't know if you've ever seen a Rangers game in New York, but it's a must for a sporting fan.
They do a great job.
Have you been?
I haven't been to one, but I've heard everything about it.
Yeah,
is amazing.
You got
to
do it. The atmosphere, the goal song after goals.
Just it's walking. New York, man. Yeah, it's Midtown Manhattan. It's amazing.
You got to do it. Yeah. Leafs, New York, get there, check it out, bucket list, done.
Yeah, that's definitely on my bucket list. Knicks game would be awesome, too. Knicks, Raptors.
I saw Kevin Garnett basically courtside when I was playing for Carolina. The locker room attendant got us tickets. And I had never... It was when Kevin Garnett was in his prime. That was something to see. It was men against boys. No one could touch him.
Oh,
it was
dude, ridiculous. When he was in his mid-20s in Minnesota, it was gross what KG was doing.
No, it was gross. I had never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
I was so close, and I was like, that's a man-child. Just
a freak. And he played with... He was mean, too. He had an attitude on him.
It was awesome.
Yeah, he was sick. All right, so Tuesday night's a big night down at the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's TSN Up Close and Unfiltered, and we're going to be there. Noodles will be there. First Up is going to be in the house. Landsberg and Koliakovo. Scotty Mack will be there. Andy Petrillo. Our boy Gareth Wheeler is going to be there. We sold a bunch of tickets, but we now have a pair of tickets to give away. I believe this might be the final pair we're even giving away. This is a big pair of tickets, but we want to get, like, diehards in the house. So we're going to open up the phone lines here in a moment. Al is behind the glass answering phones. He is prepared. He is locked in. We have done many bits on this show over the past 3, 4, 5 years. Many of them. We're not going to name any of them. Some of them we still continue to do. Some of them we sent out to pasture last year, 2, 3, 4 years ago.
We are going to bring one back next week.
Okay, don't even announce it, though.
No.
Don't say it, but that's a good tease. But we have done so many different bits, so many different segment ideas, manufactured stuff on this show. The first person in that can name three of those bits,
at the Hall of Fame.
We will see you with a friend, a spouse, a child, a colleague at the Hall of Fame Tuesday night. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. Al is waiting patiently on the other side of the glass. Name three different bits or segments we have done on this show. And you're going to the Hall of Fame on Tuesday night to hang out with the boys and girls of TSN Radio. Leafs Sabres tonight on TSN 1050. We'll tee that up. The Tapman's down at the Scotiabank Arena. He and Greg Gilbert with the pregame at 7.
Yes Guy, No Guy coming up, our segment that he stole.
That is our segment. I guess you technically could use it if you want, if you're calling in right now.
Yep.
That might Teddy be one of it. The three you could use.
Loser Teddy is.
We'll tee that game up. Jays Rays tonight down at the Rogers Center. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets, brought to you by Proline.
Get way into the game.
Yes, you have to get way into the game, and I'm looking at the NFL board this weekend. New Orleans is getting 3.5. Now it's on their own in Atlanta. They have not been off to a good start, but they always start slow the first 2 weeks. I believe they cover the number in Atlanta. Philly's getting 7 points. Carson Wentz coming back. But until I see him play and perform and look healthy and feel healthy, I'm going to take the points, even though it's Indianapolis. But they're coming off a win last week. Andrew Luck looks real good. T.Y. Hilton catching balls, putting up yards. I'm going to take the numbers with the Colts. And I'm laying the 17, Minnesota at home against Buffalo. I think Minnesota's going to win by like 30 points.
I do too.
How does Buffalo keep that close? I don't see how they do it. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Buffalo better not have any thoughts because...
We are on mini in the Survivor Pool. We're still alive.
Yep.
I would guess 95% of people, unless you've already taken the Vikings, how do you not take the Vikings at home against Buffalo?
You gotta.
Yeah, like don't overthink it, people. I'm telling you.
And play I smart. Saw some stats on it. We're like half the people are out. They're punted.
You get through 3 weeks, at least half the pool is out. At least.
That Saints game, dude. We almost took that game. We were almost gonzo the first week.
I know. That close to being out.
And I got to tell you, that was my call to get away from that.
Yes. I'll give you full credit. Now, I was pushing the Rams last week. Now, you pushed the Saints. They ended up winning that game anyway. So maybe we should have gotten the Saints out of the way and kept the Rams, you know, but Rams are rolling, man.
You hear everybody talk, NFL, what is it, the NFL Network, you watch any, they're like, the Rams are the favorite.
They have to be in the NFC, I think. You know, unless, like, Carson Wentz can change a lot if he looks like Carson Wentz.
They're just saying these guys, this team is stacked.
Yeah.
Fully loaded, stacked.
They are. Loaded with talent.
Wouldn't you just be pissed off if you lived in St. Louis? Like, look at this. Why don't, like, bye.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Bye. Bye.
It's a lot like Seattle losing the Supersonics to Oklahoma City right after you draft. Right after you draft Kevin Durant. See you later, Russell Westbrook.
Bye.
See you later.
I'm going to call in. I'm going to call into the hotline.
This weekend?
Yeah. Me and Joe from the bridge.
I think he's angry with us. I don't think he's happy.
What?
We carved them up pretty well yesterday.
I don't think we carved them. I like Joe from the bridge.
I love Joe from the bridge. Like, I genuinely love that guy. He's such a good guy. But it's ridiculous that he works here and he called into the hotline.
I'll tell you what, man, living in the bridge, if you cut somebody off, like female, nonna, old guy, they will carve you to shreds. The hands start going. It's a weird place, man.
Good for them. I like that. I like being animated. Be careful. Be safe. But a little animation never hurt.
Oh, I'm safe in the bridge.
You got some protection up there?
No, I mean, I know you don't give anyone the bird in the bridge.
No. You don't want the old, hey, pull over routine.
Yeah.
You do not want to see that. The phone lines are always open for the hotline, 416-384-3877. Shout out to Sean Coors, who called in. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I don't know who he's bringing. He got two tickets to the Hall of Fame for Tuesday night. TSN 1050 is up close and unfiltered.
We will have a Coors with you at the Hall of Fame,
yes,
Sean.
Yes, there will be pints on ice, I believe. So we will be having some drinks. We're going to have some snacks. We're going to be up on stage with everyone from TSN Radio. We're looking forward to it. And we asked him to name any of our stupid bits. Name three of our stupid bits. He named Jerry's, Bar Play, Mow Your Lawn, and even threw in Yes Guy, No Guy. And Yes Guy, No Guy is coming up in about...
That is our segment.
About 23 minutes from now, the Tap Man and Greg Gilbert will be rifling Yes Guy, No Guys at each other. What do you think they're going to have in store in terms of the Yes Guy, No Guy material tonight? Sabres, Leafs at the Scotiabank Arena.
Does Tavares score in his home opener?
I'm going to say Yes Guy.
I'm going to say Yes Guy, too. Just to spice it up
a little bit. Yeah, I'll say Yes Guy.
Does Odogunov continue to impress?
I'm going to say No Guy. I don't even know if he's playing tonight. I think he might be playing tomorrow in Buffalo.
Then that's a No Guy.
How about this SDA, the kid, Semyon Dur-Argutyuntsev? Is he going to put on a clinic tonight at the Scotiabank Arena?
I'm going to say No Guy.
Really?
I don't know. That's why.
Okay. Riveting.
Just a No Guy.
This is why we leave it to the experts.
Do you think John Tavares gets a loud ovation once he steps on the ice?
That is a Yes Guy. That is an absolute, no doubt, lock it in Yes Guy. I think he starts tonight, don't you think? Mike Ross will call it out.
I think as soon as he steps on the ice for warm-up, people are going to go nuts.
I think it's going to be a pretty decent crowd.
Yes, you know, guy, no guy, good crowd?
Yes, guy. Like, it won't be sold out, but there'll be 13, 14,000 people there for a preseason with two kind of half lineups. It's not even a half lineup for Buffalo.
Yes, guy, no guy, Marner, Tavares, chemistry stays intact.
Yes, guy.
I'm a yes guy.
Yes, guy, no guy, regardless of what happens. Mike Babcock pumps the tires of Zach Hyman after the game.
That's a yes guy. I'm just going to spice it up a little bit and say yes guy.
Never know.
We haven't heard from Noodles today. I like that.
That is the greatest never know clip.
It's so good.
Never know.
Just sounds like he's crippled.
He claims he was sick, but I think he was out the night
before. I do too, because you don't get the 24-hour bug.
You don't recover from sounding like this.
Never know.
In one day.
No.
Like
that's
that,
a five-dayer.
Yes.
If I sound like that, I've had my voice go. I need 2 or 3 days off work.
Yeah. You can't talk on the radio anymore, and you're popping halls like they're Tic Tacs.
I think Gurdeep, dude, lost his voice for like 6 weeks last year.
He did. He had like laryngitis or something.
Which I think is a little bit too much, but...
Well, I think he was, again, rattled with me in particular, because I mentioned that. I said it's kind of the perfect illness if you're a broadcaster, because, you know, your voice goes, but... My understanding is you kind of feel okay.
Yeah, we're not calling out Gurdeep. He's sick. He is.
He's such a good man.
The show too.
He's the man. That CP24 in the morning crushes.
Crushes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to get into this on Monday, the day before the Hall of Fame venture. We're going to have Noodles back, review the Leafs stuff, and get into all of that. And it's going to commence
at 4 p.m.
We're going to chat then.
Never know.